नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srila Bhagavatamrita was compiled by Srila Sanatana Goswami. It has been translated by the devotee Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, who has translated it for our benefit. The history of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita was that Uttara, the mother of Parikshit Maharaj, After Sukadev Goswami spoke Bhagavatamrita to Parikshit Maharaj, then he was due to be bitten by this snake bird. So then he went to this side of the Ganges to meditate. Then his mother came, Uttara, and she asked, what was the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam? So he had very little time to explain to her what the essence of what he'd heard for 7 days. So what he spoke, that was the Srihat Bhagavatam, Bihat Bhagavatamrita. And Jaimini Rishi was there, he also heard. So this starts the conversation of Parikshit's son, Janmanijaya. He's asking Jaimini, what was that essential knowledge that Parikshit told my mother? That Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Basically explaining all the different levels of devotees, all the different levels of devotional service, from the very basic to the extreme in Golok Vrindavan. So this it's in two. There's several narrations going on through the. There's in the beginning. There's Narada's search for the pure devotee, the topmost devotee, and then it goes into a story of Gop Kumara, another great devotee. So this is from the first volume, it's the end of the first volume, where Narada Muni, he's been through finding different devotees, respectively more and more evolved throughout the planetary systems. And he comes to Dwarka. And he says he wants to meet Uddhava, because he knows Uddhava is the greatest devotee in Dwarka. So this section, if we have time to finish it, it will portray Krishna is going to show the Dwarkavasis the kind of love that the Brijavasis have for him. You know, Krishna sent Uddhava there to learn that also. So this is what Uddhava's program is like. All the other devotees that Narada Muni met, they said, "No, I'm not the greatest devotee. Someone greater than me." So Uddhava's going to refer them to the Brijavasis. But Narada has come there, and there's a crowd of people. This morning, Krishna woke up and he was crying. He was dreaming of Vrindavan. So, and then he's crying and he's not coming up, getting up to do his morning duties. He's laying in bed with a cover over him. And they're discussing, Krishna's very in a strange mood this morning, and he often does that. He talks of the Brijavasis in his sleep. And so there was some of the queens were there, and a number of people were there when Narada Muni arrived. So, where do we start from? So when they're discussing Krishna's lament, and then Narada Muni arrives, and Narada Muni is in complete ecstasy. He thinks he's finally found the topmost devotee, and he's in Vaikuntha. He's in the spirit. He's in the Ayodhya. Sorry, Dwarka. And so then they see Narada Muni, and they calm him down try to understand what's going on. And he says, you know, how he just wants to meet Uddhava as the greatest devotee. And then they're saying, no, actually, Uddhava said, no, actually, it's not me. It's his Brijbasis. So they're telling all these things about how, you know, Krishna wakes up from bed and crying, or he's sometimes tagging on the Rukmini's sari and calling her Mother Yasoda or Radharani or Lalita, and he's always thinking about them. Then even Shatibhama said, what to speak when he's asleep, even when he's awake. He always seems to have his mind somewhere else. We're only wives in namesake, but actually he's always something on his mind. He's always actually thinking of the gopis. And anyway, they're glorifying Krishna. Then Balaram, he gets a little bit unhappy. He said, I stayed there. I went to Vrindavan. Balaram sent me, and I stayed there for 2 months to try to console him. But he said I couldn't do anything. I couldn't console him at all, practically. And so, seeing I couldn't resolve the dilemma, the separation from Krishna, I made hundreds of promises to them. As soon as I get back, I will get Krishna to come here. And then I told Krishna, you please find some excuse to go to Vrindavan and bring back the lives of the Brijbasis. And Krishna said, yes, he's crying. He said, yes, yes, certainly I will go. He said, but to this day, he hasn't gone. He's saying he's going, but his heart is actually somewhere else. He's actually a little hard-hearted. He's not like he makes out. Balaram's a little upset hearing about the condition of the bridge buses. Then, while this is going on, Krishna's overhearing this. So then Krishna comes out, and he's crying. Loudly, he's weeping, and he said, "Yes, it's true. My heart is made of solid diamond because it won't split in two even after hearing of the love and the need of my devotees in Vrindavan. They took care of me so long from my very childhood, and yet I've neglected their. I understand their exceptional love, and I've neglected them." But I must do something. I've been very cruel to them. I must pacify them. So he asked Uddhava, Uddhava's his minister, advisor also. He said, tell me, what shall I do in this hour of distress? And Devaki was there, and she said to Krishna, you should give them whatever they want. Then fearing that, you know, the whole kingdom was about to be given away. This is old Padmavati. This is a grandmother, the Krishna's grandmother, the wife of Ugrasena, Kamsa's mother. She's old now, and she's a bit little senile. And she thinks that, you know, Krishna may do anything and give the whole of Dwarka to the Brijbasis. So she always speaks up and this, what you're talking about, these Brijbasis, they care for Krishna, they made him work so hard. They didn't even give him any shoes. It's such a horrible place, so many thorns and stones and wild animals. And they didn't feed him properly. When he got so hungry, he had to steal a little milk sometimes. And when he stole some milk, they tied him up and threatened him. You think that these are, they love him, they just want him to work there. the devotees are quite tolerant of her. And Uddhava said, the people, Vraja, they don't want anything from you. They don't want power, wealth, or kingdoms. the only thing they desire is nothing, only but you. Only your going there personally will actually satisfy them. He said, now you kindly think of what I said, and then you may act on that. He said, last time when you went to Mathura, and you sent, the first time you left Mathura, then you sent back some presents with the cowherd boys. And they were very upset. They said, this is what Krishna thinks he wants. He wants his ornaments and presence. We want him. But then Nanda convinced them that if he come back soon and says, okay, then we wear all these ornaments, because then Krishna will know that we've accepted them and appreciated them. But actually, they really wanted him. in Braj at that time, practically they stopped all activities. They stopped eating and stopped doing anything, practically speaking. He was staying alive by the hope that Krishna would return. Anyway, Nanda promised him, no, as soon as he's finished, he'll come back. But you never came back. And then you sent me, Balaram said, then you sent me with a message. And they thought I was you at first. He said they almost died when they found out that it wasn't you. because I couldn't do it, I made so many promises that I'm going to definitely bring you back. Then you sent Uddhava. Was it Uddhava was first or Balaram? Remember? Huh? Sorry. Yeah, so Uddhava was first, and he couldn't. So he sent Balaram. So Uddhava was Uddhava was speaking at this time. That's right. Then he couldn't console them, so Krishna says, "Yes, what shall I?" He said, "Uddhava, bring me a pen and paper." He's going to write him another letter. So Uddhava said, "Oh no, it's not going to work, Krishna. Please, it's not going to work. They only want you. They just want to see your feet, nothing else." And Krishna didn't know what to do. He was weeping in separation from the Brijbasis also. Then all the others, the queens started weeping, Devaki and Rukmini. They thought he's going to leave us. So all the Dwarka buses, they was all sad, and and their faces were drying up. And then Krishna saw them, and he saw them withering away. So he thought, how can I leave these people? They're dying also. So this is Krishna's prediction. Not prediction, his... Yeah, his predicament that he was in. He was torn by love from both sides. And he found it was a very difficult situation for him.
Uh,
So then Thomas's mother was criticizing the Brijbasis and criticizing Vrindavan. It was a horrible place, you know, dangerous, wild animals there and full of thorns. And so then Rohini started to, she got a little upset. She started to glorify Krishna. She started to glorify Vrindavan, how wonderful it is, and it's such a friendly place. The cows go there, they don't need protection. It's not that Krishna's just there for working. They go out in the morning, there's no fear, there's no thieves, there's no danger. The cows go out, they come back, they can come back by themselves. there's no violence there. And then Padmavati said, how can you say that? We've heard that even the animals are about in danger of dying because no one is taking care of them in Vrindavan because they stopped all the activities practically. And then when Krishna heard that, he became even more upset. And his heart was pounding. He just didn't know. He felt so bad that the residents of Vrindavan were dying, including the animals. They're about to give up their lives, and I think Balaram was saying that even he said that the devotees can't give up their lives. He said because you removed Kaliya from the lake. That was a curse for them. They could have jumped in that lake and died immediately. They can't even jump off Govardhan. It's got so small now. You've gone And the Jamuna's dried up. They can't even jump in the Jamuna. And they can't even die of starvation, even though they're not eating, because they're simply staying alive by relishing your pastimes and your names. We don't know what's going to happen to them. So then Krishna didn't know what to do, and he's looking around, and he looked at Balaram, but Balaram was, tears were pouring down his face. And then Balaram really started crying, and Balaram started sobbing and sobbing. And he said, "What to speak of the cows?" He says, "Even the inanimate objects like the cows and the bushes and the other birds and things like that, they're just wasting away. There's only one hope." There's only one hope that you must go back there. They only live on the hope that the promises were true. You better not ask to hear any more than this, because it'll be too painful to describe any more about it. And he says, I can only tell you that if you don't show your kindness to them soon, Yamaraj will soon show them his kindness." So that was that was too much for Krishna, and he embraced Balaram, and they were weeping and howling, and then they fell on the floor and they were rolling. Then all the residents of the palaces came running because Krishna was crying and lamenting. And there was all these inauspicious omens, meteors were flying, and everyone came because they never heard this thing before. This is Dwarka, this is Vaikuntha, there's no unhappiness in Vaikuntha yet. And the Lord himself is actually weeping. No one had ever seen, everyone came. The Gargamuni came, Ugrasena came, everyone came. And then when they saw their Lord like this, then they also began to cry. And because of the disturbance in the universe, Brahma couldn't find out any cause of it, so he immediately came to see what was going on. So he came down to see the Lord with the different demigods. When he found his Lord and his own father, he saw him in that state, weeping on the ground. Lord Brahma began to weep also. But Brahma has also, apart from being the creator, he's also a great loving devotee of Krishna. And then he lost his gravity and he sort of began to cry. Garuda was crying, everyone was there crying. But Brahma gathered his wits and he said, how to bring Krishna back to his normal state of existence. So he said, I got an idea. He said, there's another Vrindavan here between Rivaita Hill and the ocean. That was made by Vishwakarma. For when Krishna was feeling separation from Vrindavan, he would go there sometimes. It was very close to Dwarka. And they had replicas, figures made of Nanda, Yasoda, Radha, Gopis, Sridham, Gopis and cows. And they had real gopas there also, and real cows were there amongst the a replica of Vrindavan. Everything was just like Vrindavan. It was very good. It was very, very good. And Vishwakarma, he's an expert. So he said, if we go there, we can go there. I've got an idea. We'll take him there, then he'll become pacified that he's in Vrindavan. And then we can bring him back. So then Balaram came back to consciousness. Krishna was still unconscious. And they helped him, put him on Garuda, and they quickly went there. And then they laid Krishna on a bed. And there was a lot of gopas and statues there, and real people also. Brahma said, you can't all come. Rohini can come, because she knows Vrindavan, she's been to Vrindavan, but the other queens can't come, and Narada can't come. But anyway, they came, they followed up, and they were hiding. Narada was hiding in the clouds, and the others were hiding in out of sight of Krishna, so that he wouldn't understand anything. Because they couldn't leave Krishna in such a condition. So then Balaram quickly cleaned Krishna with his cloth, wiped away the tears, and then they dressed him as a gopa, put his yellow cloth and his red sash and a bugle horn and a flute in his belt and a peacock feather and turban and some gunja berries and stick, kadamba flowers, different earrings. And then Balaram, with great effort, managed to wake Krishna. He said, Krishna, Krishna, wake up, wake up. Oh, finally you're waking up. See, the cows have already gone ahead. It's late. Come on, they're already going in the forest. Sridham and your other friends are waiting for you. And your parents, they're waiting for you. They're there. They're so filled with love for you, they can't even speak. And the gopis are watching you. They're all so stunned. And they're whispering things about you. And then, finally Krishna came conscious. And Shiva, Shiva. And he got up with surprise. And then he saw Nanda, the statue of Nanda in front of him. And he felt a little embarrassed and he bowed to Nanda. And then he saw Mother Yasoda with wide eyes, unblinking eyes. And he spoke to her. He said, dear Mother, he said, this morning during my sleep, I had this amazing dream. It was real. It was just like it was real. I went from here to Madhupuri. I saw wicked men like Kangsa and Jarasandha killed and the demigods satisfied. And I had a great city of Dwarka was built on the shore. And so many other things happened. I can't tell you about it now, but I tell you when I came back from the forest. It was just like real. And because of this long dream, I got up so late this morning. But anyway, we go now. So then, I'll tell you when I come back. Then he snatched some butter, which he was holding in her hand. And Balaram says, come, let's go. He said, your mother has been, She's had a lot to do. She's tired. And the Mohini said, your mother's a little worried. She feels a little ill. She's been worried about you sleeping so long. That's why she's not. So you go ahead and I'll prepare your lunch. So then Krishna left, and on the way he met some gopis, and he was enjoying some talks like that. Then he came to Radhika, and he spoke some joking words to her, some witty jokes, and he said, "Oh, mistress of my soul, why don't you speak to me? I'm your devotee whom you've met in a secret place. Why are you so busy? What are you so busy with? You're not talking to me. Have I offended you? Oh, you must know what happened. You must have known what happened in my dream last night. I married 16,000 princesses. That's why you're like this. Yeah, I married them when I was... I had to marry them because they were preparing to give up their lives. And I had so many children, and they had children. It's an amazing dream. Anyway, I've got to go to the forest now, but tonight when we meet, I'll tell you all about this wonderful dream I had. And then he threw a handful of flowers at Radha. He looked all around, and then he gave her a quick kiss. And then he went ahead. And when the queens were watching this, Jambavati, Rukmini, Krishna's grandmother. grandmother. Padmavati. They saw how Krishna was dealing, and they never seen this before, such sweetness, because in Dwarka he's like a king and everything is official. But they never saw such intimate dealings, and they just ran towards him. So Balaram Rohini had to grab them. You're gonna spoil the show. You're gonna ruin the show. There's a program here. And then, so he went ahead with the Krishna went there, and the cows were there. And then he came to the ocean, and he thought it was a Jamuna. So he said, come on, Sridham, let's go. Where are you? Come quickly. Let's go into Jamuna. The cows can take water and chew here. We can play for a long time in the Jamuna. We can have so much fun swimming here. And as he went closer, then he could hear, this... The waves of the ocean. And he looked out and he saw, and he couldn't see the other side of Jamuna, and he saw these waves. And then he saw a big city, Dwarka city. And Krishna was surprised. And he's saying, what is this? Where am I? Who am I? He's completely bewildered. Then Baladev said, O Master, Lord of Vaikuntha, please consider who you are. You were asked by the demigods to descend to remove the burden of the earth. Now please destroy the wicked and protect everyone else. Your cousin Dhamaraj, King Yudhisthira, has undertaken a sacrifice. Please see to getting it performed. You have established Yudhisthira as emperor, but he is intimidated by Salva's younger brother and other exceedingly powerful villains. Please, therefore, go to Yudhisthira with the help of the Yadus and kill his enemies who are persecuting your devotees out of hatred for you. So then Balaram spoke these words to change Krishna's ecstatic mood and bring him back to normal, his Dwarka mood. And it worked. Krishna changed his mood. He grew very angry. He said, brother, who are those useless creatures? Salva's younger brother and those like him. I will go myself and kill them at once. You trust these words of mine as true. They give my firm promise in this way. The circumstances of the moment made Krishna forget his confusion. Looking around him, then Krishna remembered he was the Lord of Dwarkadish. And he can remember sleeping in the palace. Then he saw the flute in his hand and his brother and him dressed like gopas. Krishna was laughing. What's going on? How did this happen? Then Balaram, understanding what he was thinking, Balaram came and explained to him that it was all Lord Brahma's arrangement, and told Krishna the reasons why it had been done, because he was in such a lamentable state, so he had to bring him out of this condition. So then, then Krishna smiled, and then Balaram washed him in the ocean, they took bath, and then Garuda took them back. And then everyone else came back to the palace. So everyone came, but except for Satyabhama. She didn't come with the others. So he inquired from Uddhava, where is Satyabhama? Uddhava said, when you took your glorious excursion to Vrindavan, which is embraced by Vaidata Hill, your special mood might have bewildered the unintelligent, but your queens were able to perceive it, and therefore they hid themselves, watching from a distance. Then the spiteful, weak-minded Padmavati addressed them, herein, O Devaki, devoid of pious credits, O unfortunate Rukmini, O wretched Satyabhama, Jambavati, and all you other miserable women, look here, from now on you should give up your pride and undergo the greatest penances to become servants of those Abhira, nomad women, those tribal women. The wise Devaki shelters you, who shelter the whole world. When she heard those words, wicked words, she said, foolish woman, what is unusual here is Sri Vasudeva and I in our previous lives underwent austerities to get the Lord as our son, and therefore the Lord, the bestower of all boons, accepted that role. But Nanda and Yasoda prayed to Lord Brahma for pure devotion. By the blessings of that foremost devotee of the Lord, Nanda and Yasoda, along with the whole household, become greater than us. Because of their exceptional love, they were allowed to raise the Lord as their child and cherish many wonderful activities. Therefore, his special attitude towards them is fitting and very much pleasing to me. And then the different queens began to glorify the gopis and have their special dealings with Krishna, the dance with him. I'm talking about the exceptional love. That is just befitting that Krishna loves them more than us, because we are obsessed with our religious duties, our social obligations, children, grandchildren, homes and household affairs and so on. We are but his maidservants. We worship him in reverence like fallen conditioned souls. We married wives shouldn't envy his exceptional love for the gopis. Rather, we should always glorify that love, for it proves how very subservient he becomes to his loving, beloved devotees. So the other queens all agreed, only Satyabhama was unable to tolerate. She got into an angry mood. And then, not seeing her there, Krishna spoke angrily, bring here at once that daughter of the foolish king. Satyabhama, most expert in the arts of amorous love, was always ready to skillfully serve her husband in the mood of jealous pride. Knowing this, knowing him to be also conversant with the skills of love and anger and eager to enjoy with the cowherd women, she hid herself behind a pillar and stood there, filled with shame and fear. Krishna noticed her and, still angry, spoke in a clear voice. The Supreme Lord said, "O weak-minded Satyajiti, just as you grew angry when Rukmini attained special favors like the Parijata flower, now you are angry at our intense love for the people of Vraja. You silly woman, don't you know that I am ruled by their desires? If the people of Vraja thought it good that I renounce everything, I promise you that in a moment I would do just that." The praise offered by the Venerable Brahma was not spoken in vain. "I can never fully repay these devotees, and I am so utterly indebted to them. But even if for their pleasure I were to return to live with them, I don't see how that would help. Just by seeing me, they become so dazed and bewildered by ecstasies from deep within that they fail to recognize their own bodies and everything that has to do with their bodies. What to speak of the rest of the world? So their pain won't be relieved even if they see me. Their hearts will be so disturbed by thoughts of separation from me that whatever measures I take for their happiness will only double their grief." So this is Krishna's lamentation, because sometimes Krishna is called cruel for not leaving the gopis in that situation. But Krishna explains that he's unable to do anything there because of the great love they have for him. This separation, this vipalamba, it's so intense that even when Krishna's there, they think, well, he may leave. So then they become plunged in anxiety, even while Krishna's there, in fear of him going. So that is the situation. The commentary. So Krishna's saying, any attempt to make the gopis happy, everything would go wrong. Just like when you throw water on a fire, burning oil, it makes it worse. It just explodes and makes it a lot worse. So he thinks that if I go back, even for a little while, it won't be. Initially, their anxiety, their grief will go down. But after a little while, when they get used to the idea, and then their love for me will increase more and more. And then and if I leave, you know, they'll even feel more devastated than they are now, because their love for me will have increased more. So that won't do any good. And even if I'm going to stay a long time, they'll be thinking any time he will go. And so they will suffer like this. So I don't know how to resolve this dilemma. So this state of affairs in Vrindavan is a very, very special mercy that the Lord gives his topmost devotees, those devotees who have a very intimate relationship with Krishna for a long time. Krishna blesses them with this vipralamba bhava. It's not something one can actually aspire for. Well, nobody wants vipralamba bhava. Nobody actually wants that. Krishna himself appeared as Lord Chaitanya to experience, to taste that, what Radharani was tasting. That was one of the reasons that he appeared. But nobody wants actually separation from Krishna. But it's a special thing that he gives the most intimate devotees. But it's very difficult to understand. Impossible for us. It can only be understood by direct perception. because we're all in separation from Krishna, but we don't feel like them, so we don't get that kind of blessings. So Krishna is very grateful for the way that they love him so much, and he can't bear to see the disastrous effects that this Vipralamba lover has on the people. Like, as we know, they practically stopped eating. They weren't even cooking in Vrindavan when Krishna left. So externally, it looks like it's great suffering, but it's the other side of it's on the spiritual platform. There's no ignorance or rajas there. There can't be suffering. It's on the spiritual platform. But it's prema. It's the extreme, one extreme side of prema. So this is what Krishna was telling to his. This is what he was enlightening all those Dwarka buses about. They say if they see a patch of darkness resembling my complexion, they embrace it, thinking that it's me. So, and this fire of separation leaves them as if they were sometimes dead, or sometimes like they act like they're insane. Thus they're partaking of the wonderful effects, they're experiencing these wonderful ecstasies, but the external manifestation is like that they become addled, you know, become insane, and you know how they talk to the plants, they talk to, you know. So normally speaking, it doesn't look very desirable. It's a very, very, very confidential thing. So and also when Krishna's not there, sometimes, you know, they imagine him to be there, right? You know, they embrace the tamo tree, or they see the dark cloud, and but sometimes they actually see Krishna before them. Not just in their mind, they actually see him before him. Such is the intensity of their love for him. When Uddhava took the message to the gopis, and he saw the extent of their love, and he was trying to explain to them how fortunate they were, because they're in samadhi. They can't forget Krishna for a moment. Right? They say, we'd like to forget Krishna, but we cannot. We just cannot. So don't come and you're coming to speak us, because Krishna has sent a letter saying, I'm always with you, because I'm everywhere, you know, I'm the super soul and everything like that. And they said, don't give us philosophy like Krishna did. They said, we were accustomed to loving Krishna from the beginning of our lives. Why are you talking to us like common yogis? We're not that category. We never stopped loving you. We've always had this perfection. And so when Krishna would come, occasionally he would come to Vrindavan, and then they would meet, the gopis would have their wonderful pastimes, and in the morning they would think, was that real or was it a dream? They just couldn't understand whether Krishna was really with them or was dreaming. And sometimes they would dream Krishna would come, and in the morning they say, was that a dream or did Krishna really come? In other words, they couldn't distinguish from reality and dreaming. Such was their samadhi, such was their absorption in Krishna. They didn't know it was real, whether he was there or they were dreaming. So Uddhava was trying to explain to them, this is it. This is samadhi. This is the perfection. You know, you're always attached to Krishna. You can't forget Krishna. He's there, even when he's not there. He's there, and even when he's But you can't understand it when you try to analyze the present moment or love. It disappears. That's the nature of it. So you can't explain it. But he was trying to. He got through finally. He got through a bit and made them understand that actually they'd achieved. They had actually had the perfection of. They was always with Krishna, as Krishna told them before. There can't be any separation from me and you. So this is the so by this pastime, then Krishna enlightened all those Dwarka bosses about his special love and why he doesn't go there. He's not actually cruel. It's not that he's being nasty, like Balaram was upset and the others are upset. But he said, "I can't, because whatever I do to pacify it, it'll only make it worse. So I can't do anything." As I told them, you simply have to be satisfied with your pious activity. I cannot repay this kind of love. A Krishna doesn't like to see them like that, but he doesn't know how to resolve it. So Krishna himself can't even resolve this situation. So just like the example, just like fire. It burns. You can't take the heat away from fire. Similarly, you can't take away this Ripalamba Bhava. You can't take away this feeling of whatever or the symptoms that come from it. that is part of it. So. He said, "It won't do any good. Just by seeing me, their love will increase. And then when their love will increase, their agony will increase when I go away. And if I don't go away, they're going to think I'm going to go away. Their agony will... I can't. I'm stuck. I can't go back." Krishna's upset. He's really... Krishna's crying. Now he's feeling like them. He's feeling the same thing. But of course, it says from the apricot leela is going on. This is the prakat leela. But the apricot leela is always there. Where Krishna is always having pastimes with the devotees. That's on the invisible platform for those who are not the rasika bhaktas. They're not on that platform. So, but this is the apricot situation. So then they can either. People who are not so qualified, but we're talking about Dwarka buses. They're most highly qualified people, and perfect living entities, right? They got to Dwarka with Krishna. They're not ordinary. So, but even though they can't understand this properly, as explained later on, when Gop Kumar, when he goes to Golok. He's speaking at the end. Same thing in Dwarka with Narada and Uddhava, and he's still not satisfied in Dwarka because his relationship is as a gopa with Krishna. He wants Madan Gopal. So Narada said, "Uddhava, he wants something that even we don't have. What you want, we can't give you. It's not here in Dwarka." So they say, you'd have to go back to the earth, because you won't learn this in Dwarka. Nobody has this buffer in Dwarka. So you'd have to go back to the earth, where they go to Mathura, Vrindavan. Then you can learn this. You can be trained in that loving sentiment. So there's some rare glimpses of the Krishna's loving dealings with these topmost devotees, and he gives them this topmost gift of that Vipalamba love in separation. That's the gift they give, which is not very actually. Nobody desires it, but that's the fortunate ones. They actually get to experience it. So we wouldn't like it, But it's not a question of what we want, what we don't want. It's not. It's just not available, even if you like it. It's only a special gift given by Krishna to those very intimate devotees who have served him for a long time. So Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. So everything is there. The extremes. We're talking about love. Everyone talks about love. So this is the extreme end of one end of love. what happens in that? So of course it cannot be understood properly. No. But that it's there. So Krishna's explaining it, showing it in his through his devotees, just to let us know how, you know, much there is, how deep love goes, and to what extent love goes, and to what kind of ecstasies are there, and what kind of the reactions, as we see then when Mahaprabhu was in that mood. In his last days in Puri, nobody liked it. Right? None of his associates liked him like that. Although that was he actually attained, you know, the perfection, right? In outline, perfection was perfection. But nobody liked it, right? He couldn't identify his friends. Couldn't even speak to. Couldn't even recognize his friends. So there was no kirtans, there was no embraces, there was no garlands and chandan and kirtans and dancing. He was just gone. You know? So then obviously he has to wind up his pastimes because nothing. He came to preach the Sankirtan mission and he came to relish. That was his internal thing. But while he was relishing at the end of his pastimes, then he got so absorbed in that he couldn't function. So they had no need for him to stay anymore. But that he was also showing that by experiencing that love that the gopis had in separation, we saw what happened, the transformations that came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, assuming his bodily, you know, karma, Chaitanya, his limbs used to extend or used to shrink in and float in the water for days on end and unable to recognize. Well, that's external manifestations, like mad, man. So it's not very appealing to us, obviously, because we're still attached to this dimension of normality. But anyway, it's there to hear about, just to show how far there is to go, unlimited, that we can never actually reach those heights. It's not possible for the ordinary jiva to achieve that, state of love and ecstasy. But the hints are given. So, and it's not spoken of much because maybe many people would think twice about going back to Golok Vrindavan. Maybe we'll stop in Dwarka. Everyone lives happily ever after there, and why? If you want to, we've heard all the wonderful pastimes, you know, Krishna with his cows, but you know, when Krishna goes behind the tree, they almost faint, they cry, they break down, they don't see for Krishna for a moment. So there's the other side of it also, which externally we probably wouldn't like, but it's nothing like we imagined. It's a different manifestation of a higher ecstasy. Anyway, it's there. So these are some of the emotions that the Krishna, you'll only find in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only in Braja he can experience these things. So that's why it says Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, because when he leaves Vrindavan, then he can't. He has no one to reciprocate, to bring out these moods, because no one else is qualified outside of Vrindavan. So then you won't see that Krishna outside of Vrindavan. He changes into Vasudeva, Dwarkadish, Mathuranath, but you can't see the original personality of Godhead. So Krishna is explaining some of his actual, his supreme personality in the matter of love, loving exchanges. Jai Brihat Bhagavadamriti ki, Krishna Jamastami ki jai, Sipopadi ki jai, Jai Gopremnam ji, Hare Hare Mohan. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Please don't ask me any, don't expect any esoteric answers. Yeah, but he wasn't, he didn't act like a socially normal person. He would ever do it, right? So he could, you know, he couldn't, very difficult to relate to him on an ordinary level. Of course he's a Manjari in his original form. And he's acting as a Gaura Bhakta. So Vipralamba, you won't feel separation until there's attachment. How can you? Unless there's attachment, you won't feel separation. So first that love has to come, then the surrender, then that from that attachment, from that desire unfulfilled, then comes that great longing. Then Krishna keeps it back, Vipralamba, till it increases the desire to actually achieve Krishna. So he was in his, Gaura-kishora was in his own world. He didn't. We don't hear him say much about Krishna. He would talk about his Prabhu Gauranga. So he was in that showing that mood of Gauranga, and we worship Gauranga in Dasya Ras as the master. Other things we don't hear so much Gaura-kishora talking about the Madhura stuff, but definitely he was. No, it's possible. I mean, where does Vipralamba start, or where does it finish? It starts somewhere, and it's unending, but it's always increasing. That's the nature of the love in the spiritual world. That's why Krishna can't go to see them, because if he goes, the love will increase. If the love increases, when he goes, the pain will increase. So he's stuck, you see, if he goes. It goes to make it better, it gets worse. That's the nature, it's always changing and increasing. So where it starts, if we feel attachment, if we feel separation from the devotees, if we're away somewhere, if we feel separation from the spiritual master, or, you know, I suppose that's the beginning of it. But here we're talking about the extreme end in Golok. What happens up in there? This is in the Prakat Leela. At Prakat Leela, he doesn't stay away long. Krishna goes away to Mathura, kills Kamsa, immediately comes back. So he never, but it was 100 years, it was a whole, you know, lifetime. So But in the Nitya Lila, they feel it. He goes away, so they can feel this naturally. They want to experience that. He wants them to experience that also. But it doesn't last. He comes back very quickly. And in Vaikuntha, a dwarka, when he goes away, as soon as, where's the Lord? As soon as you feel it, he's back. That's Vaikuntha. There's no distress there. So as soon as there's some anxiety coming in, it's not allowed there, right? Vaikuntha. As soon as there's some anxiety and separation of the Lord, then he'll be back immediately. But in Vrindavan, then Krishna stretches it. You want some separation there. Let's see how much you can take, how much separation you can take. So Krishna suspends it. So they get more and more intense. Then their love increases more and more. Their eager and their greediness increases more and more and more and more until it's, their breaking point. Then Krishna comes. Because, devotees are praying, please help me love you, Krishna, increase my love for you. We're praying like that. So that's how he does it. But how much do you want? How much can you take? It's unlimited.
Sometimes, maybe my ears are still jaundiced, but sometimes it sounds to me like the people in the so-called lower dhams of the Vaikuntha world or the spiritual world, like you were explaining what happens in Vaikuntha, sometimes it sounds like a better deal.
Well, if you want to live happily ever after, go there.
Sometimes it sounds like the queens of Dwarka have a little better deal than the gopis of Vrindavan. Sounds that way to me.
Well, but they're glorifying the gopis. So it can't be suffering, obviously. Obviously can't be suffering. Otherwise, they're the topmost devotees. Krishna, they don't get into Vaikuntha. Why would they get that in planets above Vaikuntha? But externally, this is how it appears. It's like someone puts ice on your back. You think it's burning. Right? If you don't see it, or think someone's cutting you, you imagine what it is. But it's so cold, it feels like it's burning because you don't know what it is. But it's actually cold, freezing cold, but it feels like burning. So it's extreme ecstasy. But you've got to be able to handle it. And it's like when you, if in this body, if you feel ecstasy, what happens? The body trembles, tears come, you can't check it. Right? So the body can't handle it. If it can't handle that bhava, so then the body starts to do funny things, right? Become stunned, you can't breathe, your voice chokes up, it doesn't function. So you can imagine right on the other end where there's actually, pure love, unadulterated love, what will be the symptoms in your particular body. Of course they have spiritual bodies, but as an example is there that we can't handle it from, you get one or two moments of ecstasy, but even then you can't really handle it, you can't control it, what's going on, right? So what to speak of the Prema Bhaktas?
Thank you. That's a wonderful explanation. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Sir, what are the differences between incarnation of God and expansion of Lord?
Incarnation and expansion. Not much. You can use the terminology for both, but you got the expansions. They may not be. They expand according to the amount of potency that they manifest. Then they have different names. I think we heard yesterday, like Shaktavesh it's not actually God, but God has expanded His potency into that living entity. So some of these Shaktivesh avatars, they're not actually Vishnu Tattva, but He's expanded that potency into them, a certain amount of potency to fulfill a certain type of function.
So there is difference in power, expansion.
Huh?
Krishna has unlimited power and expansion has limited power.
No.
They are equal.
Well, His expansions, power. His direct expansions have unlimited power. They can do, they have the same potency as Him, but they don't display it. Only Krishna displays it. You know, even Vishnu, He can play a flute, but He doesn't.
So to govern the central entire cosmic manifestation,
sorry?
To govern this entire cosmic manifestation, Lord has deployed these demigods, deployed His expansions and incarnation, and the mission is same, to annihilate the sinful activity persons and protect the pious persons.
Basically, that's what the Lord appears
and
here for.
Incarnation is possible in material world, and expansion is in the spiritual world. I think so, like that, heavenly planet.
Thank you very much.
So, and you were saying that word separation. Yes, you are saying that separation in love. If there is a word, there is love. How the word will come? You know, that separation.
How
if there is
love,
there is no separation. If I love anyone, if he is in USA, I am in India, if our love is ourselves the pure love, then we have no separation. If there is separation in love, there is no love. So if there is love, there is no separation. We are always with each other, within us.
Yeah.
So that so that separation in love. If there is love, there is no separation.
In one sense, there's no separation, but you still want to be with that person you love. You still want their direct association, and to be with them, and to do things with them. Right? That's still desirable.
This association with a person whom I love, that means to say that I have some desires. And that is, I think that this is considered that a sensual gratification. If I have deep in love with anyone, wherever he is, my love is there with him.
Oh, that's on a subtle, more subtle platform, but still it's desirable to be with your beloved. Then you can perform different activities together.
Sir, in spiritual planets, there are innumerable spiritual planets beyond this material sky, material world. Beyond the material world, there are different, various spiritual sky, spiritual world or spiritual sky, we can say that.
Yeah, but still there's spiritual form. Krishna has the spiritual forms, they have spiritual forms, and they desire to be together so they can have pastimes. It's coming from them.
I just want to say that spiritual world, that is Krishna Loko, you just said that Vaikuntha, if you have a personal desire, then we'll get back to the material world again. In Krishna Loko, when we will get enter into that world, then definitely we should not get back to the material world again. It is written in the reverse scripture. And I just don't know that what is Brahma Loko. What is that Brahma Loko and Indra Loko?
Brahma Loko?
And that's all. What is going on in Brahmalok? In the spiritual world, I just like that, no electricity, no moon, no sun, this self-luminous. But in the material world, to overcome the darkness, we need sun, moon, and electricity.
What goes on in Brahmaloka?
What is running in Brahmaloka?
Activity.
Activities.
They're all devotees. Lord Brahma, he goes to see the thousand-headed Mahavishnu every day. He has a spiritual planet near Brahmaloka. Lord Brahma will go there, and the Lord will instruct him, give him instructions about creation and giving instructions in bhakti, and everyone there is a more or less pure devotee of the Lord, and even on the lower planets above above Sataloka, then those planets are the planets of the transcendentalists, people who want to live Gyana Loka, Tapaloka, etc. They all want to get out of the material world. From the Swaga, they're enjoying, but above Swaga, they're all trying progressively going up. And so the higher you go, the more finer the environment becomes, the closer it becomes to the spiritual world, and the more they're devotional, and the more finer life, finer way of life. So that goes on there.
So, sir,
you can ask
question,
I can't
last,
hear properly. I can't hear through the mic. We've finished and you can come and...
Okay then.